need. I want to pick up on two or three important points from the lesson this morning that I was unable to deal with because time ran out on us, on me rather. And then if I put that one aside, I want to discuss a point that we do not give God anything because we own nothing. That is one of the points that I say I would spend the 20 or 30 minutes that we have looking on that. But then there is a passage that I would like to, and probably this is where I will rest. I would like to for us to look on the passage. It is a simple passage. It is saying much because it deals with excuses. But because of the way it's worded in the King James Version, we may read it many times and do not understand what it is saying. I'm therefore going to ask one of the Brother McFarlane, to read for us Matthew chapter 15 from verse 1 through verse 6. Matthew chapter 15 from verse 1 through verse 6. The same is found in Mark chapter 7, verse 9 through 13, but let us hear it from Matthew. Okay, as I've said, there's a particular part there that you might miss what is being said. I decided that I wanted to discuss this passage and the substance in it so that we will learn to be careful how we look for excuses when we are dealing with the Almighty God. Very important. In many cases, well, let me put it like this. We cannot outsmart God. We, on many occasions, outsmart ourselves. We reason certain way to find excuse not to live up to our God-given responsibility in the various areas we have responsibility to God. And to the church, and to Christianity, and to one another. We find various excuses, not realizing that those excuses which seems so above board to us, they amount to nothing but condemnation before God. And what we have just read here is where Jesus Christ is addressing how the Israelite found excuse not to do for their mother and father what was a God-given duty. In fact, may I? I dropped this along before I discuss and forget to use it as an illustration. I've been saying it to you, and because we do not have one audience, because of the COVID, as you know, we have to divide it. I asked the other brothers who sometime have to preach and teach to part of the congregation to make sure that they point this out. And among the thing is the fact that whenever we are called upon to be of help to a brother or a sister or another congregation, we must be careful that what we are called upon to do is to make extra sacrifice. We must make sure we understand. We are not asked by God, by God's truth, we are not asked to take from the right hand and give to the left hand. We are not asked to lessen what we would normally think we are expected to give as our offering. So we shorten it and we give part as our offering and we give part to that project. No, that is deception. And it's important that we understand. Because you are not giving. When we are called upon to do extra, when you rob what your conscience and the truth that you know dictate that you are to give to the congregation with which you identify as a member, and you feel you can lessen it to participate in another project, giving the idea that you are making some extra sacrifice for that other project when in fact you don't. This, what is before us here, is addressing things like that. The brother read it from the King James. I'm going to ask that you read it again, brother. That is Matthew 15, 1 through 6.
Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." But he answered and said unto them, "Why do ye also transgress the commandments of God?"
Stop there a while. You notice that between Jesus Christ and the religious leader, both, or rather each, Christ and these religious leaders are placing different emphasis on different things. It is to be noticed. The religious leaders are placing the emphasis on tradition. Jesus Christ is placing the emphasis on God's command. They are not the same thing. Don't put them in the same category. Tradition that has been handed down by man has no power with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Read on, brother.
Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition?
Mm-hmm.
For God commanded, saying,
Jesus Christ now is relating how they push aside what God commanded them, and they replace God's commandment with man-made tradition. Of course, that is common in the religious world today. Read on.
For God commanded, saying,
mm-hmm.
Honor thy father and mother,
mm-hmm.
and he that curseth father or mother, let him die.
Now, this is God's commandment. Read.
But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou might be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition.
May I? Let me explain what you have just read there. The Almighty God commanded the Israelites, as he commanded us, that we should honor our mother and father. It means that if they are in need and we as children are in a position to be of help to them, are we all here? We are to be of help to them. But you know what? Somewhere along the way, the religious leaders among the Jews make their own adjustment to that law. And you have mother and father, and then you have you as the child, and you have your dollars. So what the religious leaders did was to say to the children of Israel that if you have something for that you plan to give to your mother and father, but if God's business make a demand on you, let's say the temple or the synagogue, make a demand on you, that which you should have and plan to give to your mother and father, you can give it to the temple, you can give it to the synagogue. And watch here. And you are not guilty of anything, because that which was meant for your mother and our father was given as a gift to the temple. Therefore, you are not guilty of anything, Israelite. That's man's tradition. Let me read it now, so that you may realize I'm not making that up. Then from Jerusalem there came scribes and Pharisees and said, why do your disciples transgress and violate the rules? And violate the rules handed down by the elders of the past? For they do not practice ceremonially washing their hands before they eat. That is the accusation they directed against Jesus' disciple. Tradition. Jesus Christ replied, I'm at verse 3. He replied to them, and why also do you transgress and violate the commandment of God? for the sake of rules handed down to you by your father. That's what tradition is, you know. Yes. Tradition are religious rules and practice handed down. And when you and I come along and see those rules and practice and belief, we treat it as if it is from God. When it is nothing, lot of what is practiced in man-made churches are tradition handed down. But people never take time off to study if the Bible supports those practices. They will be without excuse before the Almighty God. So verse 3. For God command, Jesus Christ continued, Anna, your father and your mother, that he who curse or revile or speak evil or abuses or treats improperly his father or mother, let him surely come to his end by death. That is God's business. That, you know, it was a serious sin to mistreat, mishandle, abuse you and be ungrateful to your parents. Of course, this is in passage like Exodus chapter 20, verse 2, Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16, Exodus 21, 17, and Leviticus 20, 19. All these passages have that law. Christ continued, but you say, Christ is now telling what the human tradition is, that excuse. And what I'm saying tonight, we must be careful that we do not find excuse in dealing with the Almighty God. Christ is dealing now with the excuse. Verse. But you say, if anyone tells his father or mother, tell them what? What you should have gained from me, daddy. What you should have gained from me, mommy. That is the money and whatever I have that might be used for helping you. It is already dedicated as a gift to God. Then he is exempt and no longer under obligation to honor his father and his mother. This was the inception, the thing that the Jewish leader placed among the Israelites for them to put God's command one side. And to accept the elders' tradition. And I like this last part in the verse 5, where that is, it is already dedicated to God, and therefore you are exempt, or you're no longer under obligation to honor or help your father or mother. This is excuse that many of the Israelites grab up. And what I'm saying, we must be careful that we do not run for excuse that do not stand in the sight of God. In dealing with God, as I've said, one of my concerns that has been brought about by the COVID is where members will start seeing online worship as a substitute for in-person, face-to-face fellowship and worshiping God. Some, in one of my lessons some weeks ago, I pointed out the many places where the Bible talks about when you come together in one place. That's what the Bible speaks about, coming together. That provides fellowship and it provides congregational worship. That's the way God intends. But we can become so lazy. We can become so hungering for convenience that our interest is not worshiping God the way God intends, but finding shortcut around God's specification. A lot of times, as I've said, we become smart aleck. And we outsmart ourselves. That when there is a need, and you are told about that need, it doesn't mean that you and I must lessen our responsibility to the church. Because that is amounting to a lie, a deception. When a need comes, be it by a brother who is in need, a sister, another congregation, when that is brought to us, it means we are called upon to make extra sacrifice. And God blesses us when we do that. There are so many ways we look for excuse to shortchange God. But if we are sincere in God's eye, we want to serve God God's way. Of course, that's the only way to serve God acceptably. If we're mindful that we are to serve God God's way, and that's the only time that God will accept it, we will never strive to find excuse or shortcut around anything that God says. So whenever you find yourself looking, trying to find excuse, remember there are dangers in finding excuse to the will of God. The same point, of course, what we have just looked at in Luke chapter 15, 1 through 6, in Matthew 15, 1 through 6, is also in the passage of Mark chapter 7, 9 to 13, the very same thing. Let us strive to be sincere and be genuine towards the Almighty God. Let us not permit the challenge that the COVID placed on us. Let us not use it or try to find in these challenges excuses so that when things get back to normal, many of us who are to be in worship regularly, constantly and consistently, we have already deceived ourselves that there is other ways. God is a genuine God, and only when we try to serve him genuinely will it be accepted. I'm going to end here and just read over that passage when you get home over the next few days, so that as from now, if you didn't understand what it was saying, you now understand that the passage is dealing with the Jews being given excuse for them to bypass what God expected of them. Let us not fall into that trap. There is another time when, in one of the Sunday nights, we are going to be looking on some three or four cases of the fact that we do not give God anything. We are called upon to give time, commitment, dedication, money, services to God. But all that comes from God in the first place. But we will deal with this lesson, as I've said, another Sunday night. If there is any in our audience, you are not a child of God, you can tonight come believing that Jesus Christ died for you and that you need him. You need his blood to cleanse you from your sin, and that blood is accessed only through faith, repentance, and baptism. So if you are in our audience and you'd like to give your life to Christ, there's no better time than now that is given to us by the Almighty God. If you are a child of God who has strayed, backslide, grown weak, then what better time to come and make a recommitment to Jesus Christ than now? Thank you.